Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for taking the time to join me this evening on At Home with Victoria. I am Victoria Gaither, the host of this lovely show. We try to do a lot of shows that focus on nonprofits and charities as well as promoting women issues. And speaking of women, we have a very, very lovely young lady who's going to be joining us this evening. Natalie is her name. And Natalie's going to join us because we are talking about women and we're talking about image, but more importantly, the image that we as women are trying to project. So she is in the business of being an image consultant, and I do believe that she's on the line. So I'm going to let her tell you a little bit more about yourself, and then we're going to start our conversation about women and image and what you need to know. But more importantly, you know, are you trying to project the right image? So we'll see if Natalie is on the line. Hi, Natalie, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Victoria. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, I have been very excited about this because, as I mentioned to you when we met at a few events, that I've really wanted to do some shows and to really focus on women. And I think that this topic and what you do is so very, very important because we as women, as you have talked about before, a lot of times, you know, we may be projecting the wrong image. So that's what I'm excited about talking about today. But first, I want you to tell all of my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. So, everyone, I am the president of an image consulting company called Elan Image Management. I'm the founder and president. And it's based in the D.C. metro area. And essentially what I do is it's almost like if you think of a woman's image, the way an interior designer may transform a home, essentially I look at her presence, her essence, her preferences, her style, her colors, and I help her translate that into an image that's credible, authentic to who she is, and projects her true essence. And everybody has different goals that they may want to project with their image, but they don't always do so intentionally. And so one of the things I do with working with clients is help them focus on what is their intent, what are they trying to project. And then once they get clear on that, then working towards creating a style and an image that is in sync with that goal or those goals. And so that's really important. That's kind of like part of my my tagline is called presence with a purpose, and that essentially encapsulates what that means. It's having a presence and an image that has purpose and is created with intent. It becomes almost strategic when you think about it that way, and it should be.
Yes, yes, yes. And also in your business, and like you said, you're in the Washington metropolitan area, so I'm sure you get to help clients from all over the place. Who are generally the type of women that will come to see you or can benefit from your services?
Oh, my gosh, that's a great question. And it's very interesting. Honestly, anyone who cares about their image, who has a visible role, whether they have their own company, whether they're client-facing in their profession, whether they're on, you know, in a high-profile position in the public's eye, or just really care about looking better and revamping and getting a pulled-together, polished look can benefit from my services. So I really have clients that pretty much cross the gamut of all those things, whether from stay-at-home moms to, you know, the professionals, to people in the military, to women who, you know, are entrepreneurs. I mean, I get them all, and the key common denominator is that the woman cares enough and realizes that she's not maybe getting it all the way together or all the way right on her own, and engages me as her professional and the coach to help her give her the image of her choosing. And that could mean so many different things depending on the client, but honestly, at the end of the day, it's about the woman, the individual woman as an individual, and what she wants to achieve and how she wants to express or desires to express herself via her image. Because, let me make this point. When I give seminars and workshops on this topic, I always start by making the point that, you know, people, you know, we live in a very image-centric society where right. Our appearance and the way we look is everything. Whether that's good or bad, it's just the way it is. And we are judged very quickly by our image. In 30 seconds, people judge us, whether favorably or not, just based on the way we look. And that judgment is usually very hard to erase. So, you know, image is important not just because it's fashion and it's fun and it's great, which are some of the things I like about it, but also because it says a lot about who you are and how you take care of yourself and your sense of self-worth, and also because it just speaks volumes about your persona. So, yeah, that can go on and on.
I definitely agree with you, and as you were talking about that, I was actually thinking about a lot of the young girls just across the U.S. In public school systems, not even public school systems, just any school system in
mm-hmm.
general. As a television reporter, I've had the opportunity to, be in so many different communities and the opportunity to interview so many different people, and I've always find that when it comes with young people, especially girls that are teenagers, you're already at that stage, Natalie, where you're trying to find yourself, you're trying to figure out who you are, you're going through that whole teenage developmental stage, so you've got a lot of stuff going on. But I just always think that somebody like you and what you do will be so valuable within a school system, because kids are already trying to find themselves. So to have someone like you with that information and that education where you can actually talk to girls and say, hey, if you dress like this, or if you wear this, or this is the type of image that you're going to present. Because a lot of kids that I talk to, a lot of them, which was actually, I have to say, surprising to me, they really didn't know, Natalie, that if they wore a mini skirt that was, really hiked up to their behind, mm-hmm. and they wore a shirt and stuff is hanging all out, that they were portraying a certain image, and they just, a lot of the girls thought that was normal. So
right.
I'm interested
because their parents are doing it.
About that. Yeah, because as you talk about that, I thought, wow, how there's so much value in what you do, but I think it would be so great if we can get something like that in the school systems in America to get to these kids.
Well, I mean, it's an ongoing thing, topic of conversation in my own head, because sometimes the parents of those girls call me, and I'm figuring out how do I get to teenage girls and get something, a workshop or something, or some kind of thing that I could do to serve that community. I mean, my focus thus far has been women, women
right.
over, I get clients as young as 25, but they're still, they're past college and they're in
yeah.
the workforce usually at that
right.
point. But the young girls, I did one workshop for young girls, high school seniors, and it was so fulfilling to me, and they actually wanted it. They were all, this is something that they choose to have as a Girl Scout group. And it was really, really rewarding, not just for them, but for me to share. And, mm-hmm. I've spoken in college age students as well. But that younger, like the 14 to 17 year old group, I really haven't had a whole lot, of work with. But I know they're the at risk group. And I would say young people in general, Victoria, these days, a lot of stuff has been lost along the way that we grew up knowing. And there was
yeah.
a time where there was such a thing called a finishing school that parents who cared could take their kids to. And, that
yeah.
has gone away. And so there aren't many places for a young woman or a concerned parent to take their daughter to have them get this information. I mean, it's
right.
and you're right. The young women they're following each other, so they don't know that, and they're following the TV and what the media portrays.
Exactly.
They don't realize what the impact that they're actually charting a course for their life, for better or for worse, and that image is part of that. And if they don't get it right, they can actually hinder their chances of success down the road.
Absolutely, yeah. And you are very right. And I imagine this is really prevalent when it comes to the business community, that you are right, because there have been so many times, Natalie, when I'm either out on a story or for example, there's somebody that wants to come on my show to talk about an issue or to talk about an idea, whatever it is that they want to talk about. But when I finally sometimes get a chance to actually meet them face to face and I actually get to see them, their image of what they're asking me to do and what they're interested in doing, in my head I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I would never have you on my show. And I have to say, it's sad to say, but it's based on what you said.
First impressions.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
People, I always start my workshops. It's a very basic thing, but you'd be surprised that People take it for granted, but we all do it. We all look people up and down. We do it subconsciously without even thinking. We all judge. We all make judgments by what we see. And everything is part of the package. It's not even just the clothes. It's the hair. It's the nails. It's the handbag.
Yeah.
It's the shoes. It's the whole entire package that impacts our image and how we are perceived. And so I always start with that is like how I start, because I want to set the context of this is why it's important. It's not. Some people may look at this and think, oh, it's just the people who care about fashion. It's so not about fashion. Fashion is an aspect of it, but it's about success. It's about being polished. It's about being your best self. And at its best, it can be transformative. And that's really the heart of why I do it, because of the transformative power in this. But that when you change the external, when you modify and refine it and get it right, that the inner person, that woman inside, starts to evolve and change and grow and you know, just be more confident. There's so many amazing benefits that happen to women when they go through this process.
And that in itself, I'm sure when you have the opportunity to work with women through their identity and changing the image that they're trying to project, that must be so rewarding for you to see them go from maybe part A to come out being part to part B. That must be just pretty cool to see that change as well.
It gives me the fire. It keeps the fire burning. It's the light that ignites me. It's what fulfills me. It's what makes me go and give and do even more than sometimes they've commissioned me for, because that change is, there's nothing that, I mean, that's my legacy. That's going to be my legacy, Victoria. It's like, you know, if every woman I touch, that if she whatever the change, some of it is small, but a lot of times it's actually pretty profound, and that gives me I'm so privileged. I feel very privileged to have that impact, and to even be the facilitator of that is a privilege.
Well, and you know, I guess I just have to say this on a side note. I mean, you like me, you're out there, you know, at different events and networking and meeting people and stuff. So I, like you, I get an opportunity to meet a lot of people, but I had already kind of knew you, Natalie, before we actually met, and it was actually through just a bunch of people on Facebook through social networking. I think the first event where you came to my attention, I want to say, was the Fashion for Pause event. I
remember. Oh, that's right. Because you had, I think, after that we became Facebook friends. Is that right?
Yes. That's right. But basically, what I was saying with that was that getting back to image, that was when you first came to my attention. And I remember after I first kind of had the chance to kind of talk to you and meet you, and then we continued the conversation on Facebook, and then I saw you again at the Tiger Lily function.
Right.
I was just so excited to have the chance to meet someone like you and to know someone like you, and I'll tell you why, because it gets back to that image. You're so excited about what you do, and you love to do this image in women and to help women. So that in itself really came through, and I was like,
thank you.
I've got to have her on the show. Because you never came to me saying, hey, Victoria, can I be on your show?
No, I didn't know you had a show.
Yeah, I was like, I know I bugged you for a while, and I do appreciate you being here, but I just wanted to throw that out there to get back to bring it full circle as to what you talk about in terms of image and your first impression that you actually get of people and what people get from you. So are there any kind of tips off of the top of your head when people, women come in to see you, like basic questions that you have them ask about themselves that you can start to look and say, maybe you can define your image. You know, let's say, for example, there's a young lady who's finishing a graduate school and she's going to be going into the corporate world, taking a job as a young executive somewhere. You know, when you're dealing with somebody like her, what are the type of questions that you would ask her?
Well, actually, I would say, you know, it could be her. It could be any number of different scenarios. It doesn't have to be a young woman. It could be, because it applies to almost any woman in any life stage in any situation. One of the first questions really is, you know, how does she want to come across? Like, what is she trying to, what does she want her image to say about her? So we're talking here about first impressions. So one of the, whether it's a group or whether I work with individuals, one of the things I always have challenged women or the woman on is what, think now, think if you had to think, if you were actually, and I use this example, I said if you were a billboard and you saw yourself up on time, the equivalent of a Times Square, what would you want to be associated with that person, that image that you see flashing across the billboard, you know? And that makes people think in a whole different way. Like when they think of a billboard, like, oh my goodness, I'm on a billboard. You know, they start to think of themselves very differently. And recently I did a workshop, and I had a woman say to me when I used that as the challenge, said, oh my gosh, if I'm a billboard, I will definitely be taking better care of myself, you know, with the way I look all the time. And it's like, well, why is it different? Because we are actually billboards.
That's,
we are actually,
yeah,
you know, our own personal brands. We are actually, you know, individuals with a persona, with an identity, with an image that, you know, is almost like a billboard. It's not as, you know what I mean? So when I put it in a billboard, as a billboard example, it's extreme, but it's a way to get people to think, oh my gosh, what have I been saying? You know, first being getting clear on, oops, you know, what have I been saying, and then what do I want to project and say with my image? So that's a very, 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 very fundamental question. And then once they answer that, you know, it could get further into, you know, what are some of the attributes you want people to associate when they meet you, when they see you? What would you want them to say about you? They don't know you yet. So this is, again, about the first impressions. But what would you want their first impression words to be? Like some of the things you want them to say. And that's an exercise that, again, that it's really, really, it's a simple exercise, but it's really powerful because people don't think like that. They don't think of
well,
in terms of,
you know, and you know, what's interesting, I like when you were asking the question about the billboard and what you just said, I was literally thinking myself, and although it seems like it's a easy question to ask, but even myself, I'm thinking, If I were doing this exercise with you, like, I really would have to think of what to say because it's not really easy given an answer.
No.
Because
no, it's not. And it's something I say, like, when I do a group, I say I only give them a few minutes to answer the question, and I give them some ideas of, like, words they can use to say, but think outside the box. And I usually say, take this home and ponder some more, because I know it, their first answers probably is not the you know, the most profound ones or the most
sincere
ones.
Right.
But you know, with every client gets this exercise, and they have time to think about it. And I just had a client yesterday where her words were really powerful, and she is actually very on message with her words. And I commended her because her words, there's some words that you when you say them out loud to Victoria, you have to commit to that. Like if you're going to tell me you want to be commanding, a word like that, or you want to be sophisticated, there's certain words you just can't just say those words and be like, well, I'm going to be sophisticated, but then wear these ratty old jeans. Like, come on. Like, you have to be, so I make my clients accountable to what they say they want. And if you're saying, let's say, example, sophisticated, and you show up or you want to continue to wear the ratty torn jeans, then I'm going to call you out for that. I'm going to say to you, you're not on message. You're not doing what you say you want. You're not projecting. You know, so when it circles back to that for them, they usually do, you know, take it to heart, and they go, you're right, and of course not. And then, is this really what I want? Because it gets back to, what do you really want? What's the outcome you want here? If you want to be sophisticated, those jeans have to go, right? You know what I mean? So whether I'm in the closet, whether I'm shopping for them, or whether I'm coaching them, it all boils down to these essential,
and I think also what that also does, at least like I said, when you were just saying it and I was thinking, how would I answer, it actually requires you to dig really deep down into yourself,
mm-hmm,
and really think about what it is. So it really isn't like as easy, you know, as it is. And I'm actually going to do that exercise myself and think about it tonight, because really it's like when you just said that to me, I really couldn't come, it really kind of stopped me in my tracks. And what's
yes
to me is that being a television news anchor, I have been on many, many billboards, because with a TV station, you know, you get to be on billboards.
Totally. So you have a real life example of being on a billboard.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So, and my only thing that comes to my mind, Natalie, about me being on a billboard, and I was actually ashamed of being on a billboard, and it's funny that we're having this conversation because I never thought I was worthy enough to be on a billboard.
Oh.
And the billboard that I was on at one of my old television stations, I was right next to Taco Bell. So all of my friends would tease me about my billboard was being next to Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
So it was kind of funny that I was next to Taco Bell. But it's funny that you had this conversation because it brings back memories for me. And my memory, the whole thing, is funny that you mentioned billboard because it was very difficult when those billboards of me and the other newscasters went up. Every time I would drive by, I could never look at myself because I never ever thought I was worthy enough to be on a billboard. So that's just kind of interesting.
That's really what you say there. I mean, it's funny because I think when I said that, I just used that word, and I didn't even think that you actually had. People don't usually have a
right.
Right. So that's really interesting that you actually. Of course, you would. As whether it's on the bus or the thing, you news people are on billboards, and so right. So. Instead, imagine if you saw that picture and you were like, oh, my God, it's amazing. That's exactly what I want to be projecting. So the reason you would have been, shy at looking at the picture or is because maybe something wasn't quite where you wanted to be, and so that speaks to And I'm not going to get personal here, but it's to ask yourself, what was missing? What was I afraid to see? What was the disconnect for me that I maybe not want to look at that billboard? So that's just something for you to think about. But that is exactly the point of the billboard, using that as an example, is to make it extreme. So it's like, oh, my God, people, oh, my God, it's blown up. It's huge. Everybody is just going to see that image. And are you happy with it? And if you're not, what can you change? And so it gets into a whole other thing. So it's about projecting of the image. And then it's also about, you have other things to think about. One of the things that I have women do is just look to who they admire. Like, think of someone whose style or whose persona you really admire and think about why you admire it. And think about, how you can, use those attributes and incorporate them into your own style and your own persona and your own sensibilities and preferences. Because there are always people we look at and we go like, how does she do it or how does she pull this off?
Right.
I mean, have a completely different, body type and style. That doesn't even really matter. It's more like, the point is more that what is it about them and their image that attracts you, and how can you take that and make it yours with your body type? Because it's always about everybody's different. I'm all about everybody is unique. Everybody's different. They should embrace their differences. It's so funny. But Harper's Bazaar is going to have an article on Serena Williams coming out in July, late July, but they have online, they have already have parts, snippets of the interview. And I just blogged about this on my Examiner column, that Serena Williams used to want to have a body like her sister Venus. She did not think her body was right, and she was trying to be like Venus, who was taller and slimmer and more, as she called it, model-esque, and she's all muscular and, different, and she said only when she was 23, and she's still young, but only when she was 23 that she realized she was not Venus and her body was not. You know what I mean? Like, so a woman like Serena Williams that has so many accolades and so many, I mean, she's going to be in the history books, if she keeps the rate as she's going. She's 27 victories, Grand Slam victories, but she is still, and when you see the snippets, you can see that she's still struggling with her self-image. As great as she is at tennis and as all the things she's achieved, she's still struggling with, and you can see it in the way she presents herself. She's changing this, or there's always change. There's always, she's not yet settled on what that is, but she's evolving and figuring it out. But I'm saying even the best, the most famous celebrities who you would think would have it all together don't. So this is very very personal thing, and it goes, and the roots stem back from childhood and whatever thing. It can get, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's very personal and very profound, and becomes more than just the clothes you wear, because it's about self-esteem, but all those other things as well.
And that's what I was saying too, because that one basic question and conversation that we just had about the billboard, although it was a very basic question, the thing is that you really have to dig deep, and if you're going to be honest with yourself and really answer that. But it really, like you said, it seems like it's an easy answer, but when you really think about it, it's not. And then you've got to be honest with yourself and dig deep down inside and try to figure out what it is in order to answer that question.
Absolutely. You know, I like what you said. If you're being honest. If you're being honest, because sometimes people will, I have clients who I challenge them, and they, you know, let's say it's somebody who is a teacher and they work with kids and they put down their elegant. I look at them and I'll say, you're going to be elegant, but your lifestyle. So, because the other thing is, you could admire something, but if it's not going to fit into your life, then you can't use that as an example because it's not going to be realistic. So another part of the equation is it has to be relevant to your lifestyle and who you are. And so while you could admire the elegant woman on the red carpet and or even the elegant woman in your daily life, as a teacher who has to, you know, can't get wear nice clothes because they get dirty, you know, in a heartbeat and they're working with kids, elegant it can't really be one of your words in a real way. If you're being honest, you will say it's not realistic for your lifestyle. So I'm just giving you examples of, you know, sometimes the words that people put down, I have to challenge the woman and say, is this really what you want? And usually when I challenge them and I say, this is what elegant means, they go, no, I don't want that. Because it doesn't make sense. Because it's not realistic. It has to be realistic. And a lot of this, Victoria, is about authenticity. You know, and that's not just about who you are, but it's also, it has to be in sync with your what you're doing, your role in the world, your role in your life. And, you know, and so elegant and a teacher with teaching, you know, young children, that does not really go together. That's just one little example.
It doesn't mean
you can't be something else. It doesn't mean you can't be stylish and be a teacher,
exactly,
you know what I'm saying? But you wouldn't use the word elegant.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, so even the words that we are using to describe ourselves, we've got to make sure we're accurate with that description of what we're trying to say. Because you're right, even if you're not elegant, that does not mean that you can't be stylish and working in your job as a teacher and, you know,
or something that's very like hands on where you're going to get dirty.
Yeah.
And, the point is that's the whole point about my tagline, Presence with a Purpose. It's all about aligning everything together: the lifestyle, the preferences, the persona, the body type. You know, the goals. Like all these things, all have to be in alignment to create that kapow, to create that slam dunk, to create that, oh my gosh, this woman is fabulous. Like she is, you know, she's got it together. She's polished. She's pulled together. I cannot tell you, Victoria, the words that I hear most often from women across all walks of life, as we just discussed, is that they want to be more polished and pulled together. Those words come up all the time, those two words, polish, pull together. And you know what? That's not hard, but it does take effort. It does take conscious choices. It does take intent. And many people get lazy, in a rut, or get in on a certain track with the way they put things together, and it may not have the intent. It may not have. That's why they come to me, because there's something is missing. It's so, and so part of it is figuring out, well, what is that piece, or what are the pieces? Why are you not polished? Why are you not put together? What's happened? Whether it's a professional woman with kids, sometimes just having kids changes a woman's life profoundly. That, you know, I had a client here the other day. She beautiful, beautiful woman, but she said when she was young she used to even model. And 3 kids later she's like, I don't even know what to put on. Like, I don't even have a style. They lose themselves, and that's just a natural thing. It the best of women, it happens too. It's not a criticism. It's just a reality that the kids come first, and then they come last. And what happens after many years of that is the woman will lose herself, and she will end up with no style, and she will come to one day will wake up and will wonder what happened to me. Very common scenario.
Interesting. Well, I want to switch. I want to switch a little bit, because when I, started putting the information out there on social networking that you were going to be on the show and this is what we were talking about today, there was one theme, Natalie, that seemed to come up quite often, and this surprisingly was a theme that came up from all women, and they said, Victoria, you have got to ask Natalie to talk about women in the office who don't dress appropriately. That really seemed to be a big theme, and more importantly, it seemed to kind of get under a lot of women's skin. And I think that they were talking about women, because, you know, there's always at least one woman in somebody's office, at least from my experience and talking to my friends, that there's always one woman who may be dressed a little bit more provocative than what she should for an office. Maybe the skirt is a little bit too tight, or, you know, or maybe the, you know, her top is a little bit too tight across the bust. So if you could just address that, I think a lot of people would be very happy to hear your comments on that.
It's funny because I thought what you were going to say when you started, when you said office, was about the whole debate about pantyhose, because that's a topic that is always heated and always controversial, to wear or not to wear pantyhose and all that. But anyway, let me get back to your question about professionalism. So I think, I mean, certainly, and I think a lot of times, because there are many more younger women, you know, call them Gen X, so I don't know what the generation is anymore, but the 20-something-year-olds, who are coming into corporate America, they're not following the quote-unquote rules. And a lot of time, I think, when you find the discord amongst women in offices, it's usually the older against the younger, usually. And what I'm hearing, what I hear is that often the younger women are, you know, they're wearing, like, you know, having their toes, like wearing sandals, you know, to work, or they're showing off. But some environments, you know, mandate that, you know, you should wear pantyhose. Some don't. But in this state, the environment is a very conservative environment, and pantyhose should be worn. The young woman is not wearing pantyhose. And I'm not a pantyhose proponent. I'm actually one who's not for it. But what I always say is there are certain corporate cultures that demand it, and if you need to follow the corporate culture's norms. There are things like. You know, wearing sleeveless, you know, again, it depends on, let me just preface this by saying it really depends on the company culture. Some cultures are more relaxed, but what I say is when the culture is very relaxed, you don't have to go into the flip-flops and you know, jeans and a sleeveless tank, even if it's a Friday look. I mean, that's never appropriate. I mean, because you're still at work. And so I believe that, you know, one of the things that's confused people is this whole concept of business casual and what that really means, and they take the casual part of that too seriously. It's not casual. It's business first, you know. Anything that you would that should be worn at a beach, at a barbecue, is you should not be wearing to work. I mean, so, you know, these are basic things, but so many women, and younger women especially, abuse these things, especially when corporate culture codes, dress codes get so relaxed where anything goes.
Yeah.
You know, they really come up in anything goes. I mean, I've heard things that have made me, I'm like, no, you know, you got to show me a picture. I don't believe they wore that. Like, I actually cannot even believe. But it happens, and it happens even among the older women. I don't want to make it all about young women. Older women abuse these things as well because, again, when you see, you know, it can even be the boss who's committing the fashion faux pas with, you know.
All right.
You know, and they see their boss, you know, carrying, you know, wearing, let's say a blouse with cleavage showing and a really tight short miniskirt. I mean, miniskirts were all the rage this season, and it was something that was frustrating for me as a shopper because when I'm trying to shop for a client who is in at work, miniskirt is not appropriate. I mean, and if I'm seeing miniskirts everywhere, it's like I can't purchase that for my client. She's an executive, and so skirts should not be more than, I mean, 3 inches is really pushing it. But I would say 2 inches and above the knee is adequate. I mean, is about right for work. If you get higher than that, you're getting into really, really, you know, dubious territory in terms of dress codes. And then there's the kind of shoes that, I mean, right now the shoes are so sexy and provocative, but you really can't be wearing the gladiator-inspired kind of shoes to work. I mean, you really shouldn't. I mean, that because there was a whole time when even some corporate cultures, wearing a peep toe sling back is too risque because you're showing toes. I mean, there's a whole thing about showing toes and toes being quote unquote sexy to some men. You know, so I'm not against peep toes. I'm saying again, depending on your corporate culture, you may have to wear closed toe pumps. So far less getting into gladiator strappy, you know, which are very, very cute and very, very great for off work hours, but not necessarily appropriate for at work, you know. So there are all these very trendy, fashionable things, wearing very shiny, metallic-y materials. That's not professional. To convey the most professionalism women should really have a second layer on top, whether it's a cardigan or a jacket, something
And you know, too, I was thinking about that because in my television career, I remember when there was a time when a television news anchor, Natalie, would just simply not go on the air without having a jacket on. It was no question. You were not just going to wear a shirt. You weren't going to wear a three-quarter sleeve, a short sleeve. You could wear that, but you were always going to have a blazer or a jacket on. And I remember starting to see when all of that started to change, where television news anchors in different markets, especially places, you know, kind of the hip markets like New York and Miami and LA, where they, you know, they would go on basically looking like, you know, somebody who just came off of the red carpet at the Oscars with, you know, half of their arms hanging out and all this stuff. And I just remember, you know, honestly, kind of being appalled at it. And I don't think that I'm like a really crazy conservative person, but I guess for my generation and being in television news, I was always taught that when you go on the air, you have a jacket on.
Right,
you
know, because the jacket.
You always have a blazer and a jacket. And one day, my best friend, who was a meteorologist, would always get after me, Natalie, why don't you just wear a sweater, or, you know, why do you keep wearing these jackets? Because by that time, nobody on TV was really wearing jackets anymore. Everybody across the country. And I was sort of like, you know, me and a few other people, we were the lone holdout. We always had our jacket, you know, looking professional. And one day I said, okay, and it was a weekend show, and we were doing like a live shot at, you know, like a local fair or something. So I thought, you know, so the content of it was okay that I could wear that. Natalie, I have to tell you, from the time that I said, good evening, thank you for joining us on Victoria Gaither, I felt so uncomfortable. It drove me crazy. And then to that day, I never, ever did it anymore after that because I didn't feel right.
First of all, it's not easy.
Presenting myself to a public and not looking professional. I mean, it drove me crazy that 30 minutes I did that.
Well, I'll say this to that point, and I'm not here saying, because I rarely see news. I mean, unless it's like a CNN and you know something, you know, that kind of caliber programming. A lot of the daytime news anchors, they're not wearing jackets, and they're literally just wearing nice tops. You know, they're just nice tops, and they may have a skirt on, but there's no jacket. So, the point I was making though is, to convey the highest level of professionalism, a jacket is required. A jacket and its alternative, a cardigan. So Michelle Obama has totally embraced a cardigan. I embrace it too. I think it's a great softer alternative to a jacket because it's another layer. It's all about having, for women, we really need, you know, okay, let me put it this way. If you want to be commanding, confident, you know, professional, and, you know, have, you know, sit head to head with your male peer, a jacket will serve you in good stead. Let me put it that way. If you want to be seen as you know, the softer sex, and that's all fine. I mean, again, it's back to what are your goals, right? So if you want to have the man be the man, you know, whether it's on air or where in a professional setting, and you want to portray that softer look, then you can wear your little dress. And I have nothing. I think dresses are great for work, like a wrap dress with sleeves and collar is a great alternative. Again, depending on what the situation and the context of that work is for that woman. So I'm not saying everybody has to wear jackets or cardigans, but my point is, if you want to convey the highest level of professionalism, you should.
A cardigan.
Jacket or cardigan. And you would not go to a meeting without one. You would not attend a meeting. You would not be seen by anybody of importance without wearing one. That's the basic.
I definitely agree with you on that. And I can't believe that we only have like three more minutes left.
I know, I'm kidding.
I know, we've been on the air for basically 45 minutes and the 3 minutes are left. So listen, can I get with you later and we add another day and time? I know your schedule is busy, but to continue this conversation, because I never got a chance to get in all the emails that that all of the women sent me to talk to you about.
Absolutely.
I don't want to try to ram it in 3
minutes. No, because I'm going to start talking really fucking really fast, and that's not going to help anybody.
right, exactly. So I promise there were about 20 people, Natalie, that sent me emails. So I promise all of you guys that are out there listening that I will keep those emails, and I will get with Natalie, and we will get another date and another time for her to come back on. Then I'll just spend that show and go over and ask all of your questions in the emails, and I'll certainly let all of you know when that show is going to be. But I mean, obviously, just great information, and I was not expecting that that something that you were going to talk about this evening was going to touch me so much about the billboard. So that's why I love live.
But no, yeah,
you never know what's going to happen. So who knew? Out of everything that we talked about, that you would bring the issue of the billboard up, and that's been a issue with me for a part of my television career, and me not feeling basically important enough that my face should even be on a billboard. So
Victoria, I had no idea. Like when I said that, I didn't even think of it. Like I didn't even, I can use that example, and nobody ever has the experience.
Right. Well, that's because you're good at what you do, and I guess you know people like you that do what you do. You have this special sense, so maybe that's
I would say there's sometimes that you're given gifts, you know, and you don't even know where they come from, and things come out of your mouth, and you don't know why you say them, and you, that's when you know it's a gift. You know, it's not you. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. Well, I am actually going to going to keep that, and I'm actually going to start a little journal and work on that. So when I'm done with answering that question, I do want to send it to you via email and just have you take a look at it. Because I think since you brought it up and you didn't know it was an issue, now it is. So I want you to finish and resolve that, because I'm interested in hearing what you have to say after I actually do the exercise.
Sure, no, we'd be happy to do that. Sorry. Go ahead, because I know we almost done on time.
Yeah, no, I was going to say the one thing that I did want you to do before we get off the air is just I have your website here on my show information, but I've got a couple of emails right now with people saying, please ask Natalie how we can get in touch with her, so I want to give you the opportunity to tell them, so go ahead.
Yes, thank you. So my company, the website is Elan. It's E as in Edward, L as in Larry, E as in Apple, N as in Nancy, imagemanagement.com. My phone number, 443-295-3526. Email is natalie@elanimagemanagement.com. And I have some exciting news coming up, and I'll be keeping it kind of hushed, but I'm having a book out. Yeah, I'm having a book coming out, and I'm so excited. But it's just really, it's gonna be fantastic. And it looks like it's near the tail end. I'm hoping by the end of the summer it should be ready to be out. But it's really gonna address a lot of things and more. We barely scratched the surface here.
I know. So
be on the lookout for that.
So the book is going to be on this topic, so that we'll be able to pick the book up, get information, read tips, and kind of evaluate ourselves and that sort of book.
Yeah.
Natalie, I think I just lost you.
Victoria?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I lost you for a quick second, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Can you hear me clearly?
No, I can't. I think I lost you. But listen, we only got a couple of seconds, so I'm going to go ahead and just say goodbye because I can barely hear you. But everyone, that was Natalie who was joining us before we kind of got cut off there towards the end. She talked about that she's been holding this in, and she did mention something on her Facebook page about she's got a big announcement coming up, but she did mention that it's a book. So I'm excited about that, and I'm sure she'll tell us more about that when I book her to come back on the show. But like she said, she only touched the surface of really what we need to talk about, so I'm glad that all of you are interested in what she has to say. I knew you would like her. I just loved her from the first time that I met her. She's a fantastic lady. All of her email address and her personal information and how you can reach her is on my website here on Blog Talk Radio. So go ahead and do that, and I'll let you guys know when she will be back on again. Natalie, we lost you, but we will get back with you the next time you're on the show. I'm excited about the book because that means we can just buy the book and basically kind of like have you there personally to go with us through the information and the own comfort of our home. So I'm very, very excited about that. And listen, everybody, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. As always, our conversations are so fast and we're out of time. I always appreciate all of you taking the time to listen to my shows. And we will have Natalie back on again. I'll try to get her back on in a couple of weeks and see what her schedule is. Thank you so much. God bless. And make sure you stay cool out there. Bye-bye.